Hello and welcome to The Hoist here on Sin's Oz Music Show. I'm your host for today. My name's Anika and I'm so glad that you're tuning in from wherever you're tuning in from. We've got a cheeky little interview today with Odette, which I'm really excited about. But before we begin, I would just like to acknowledge and pay respect to the traditional owners of the land that our content is created and Studio Sand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, which is where we are. As well as the elders and traditional owners of the land, both past and present. But as I said before, I'm joined by an incredibly bubbly and innovative 23-year-old musician who's been in the game for quite a while, Odette. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And I have a question for you. Are you thriving today and why?
Am I thriving today?
Yes.
No.
You're not thriving.
No. I was thriving when I woke up. I watered my plants.
Okay.
And I felt like Nigella Lawson somehow. I don't know. But now maybe I'm just tired and want to like take a nap. I don't know.
Fair enough. You felt like a kind of, you know, Nigella Lawson plant watering kind of gal, which makes sense. I love it. Well, we're here to talk a little bit about your new album today. Harold, congratulations. How does it all feel for this body of work, I guess, to be out in the open?
It feels really good, actually, to be honest, and a little bit terrifying.
Okay.
So mostly I'm just sort of like trying to – sorry, my dog just like jumped on my face. That's fine. Kenneth, don't bark, please. I'm doing an interview. Anyway. I think mostly like what I'm really conscious of is like trying to not, I don't know, like perpetuate a toxic narrative. That's sort of what I'm thinking about mostly with this whole record. So, yeah.
And I guess like it is a very kind of vulnerable body of work. Like, is it scary releasing something so vulnerable?
Absolutely. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Especially because like this song, they're so direct and like really... It's just kind of like when I listen to it, I'm like, oh shit, girl, like, come on. I mean, I overshare a lot, but with this, it's sort of like I've sort of just put it all out there. It is what it is.
It definitely is what it is. And I guess like the track, like the album name is Harold. Can I ask, who is Harold? Like, why? What's the relevance of Harold?
Harold is a word that means it sort of signifies something is coming. And like, it's kind of like almost a religious, it was like very like a grandiose biblical term. Okay. And the reason I chose that as the title is because I wanted to sort of tie in the romanticizing of mental illness and how it is in the moment when you experience complex mental illness, like you sort of romanticize your own narrative, I suppose, but also the actual sense that something is changing. So it's sort of like the two parallels of being in a toxic headspace, but also knowing that change is inevitable, but still sort of being caught in this space.
Okay, interesting. And do you feel like you've kind of been in that space before?
Yeah.
Fair enough. How do you feel like you've overcome that space?
I haven't. Why would I overcome anything? I'm just kidding. But no, look, I am working through it. But like, I'm 23 and I only got diagnosed last year. Like, I'm still a fucking mess. But at the end of the day, self-awareness, education, and the right therapy, really, that's all it is. And then hopefully in 10 years time, maybe I want to, like, I don't know, have a family. I might change my mind, but I might want one. And you know, I'll be healthy enough to do that. That's the point here, I suppose.
Yeah. And do you feel like your music kind of helps you out with this process? How do you feel like the music provides kind of a, do you feel like it provides like a bit of a cathartic kind of release?
Oh, for sure. I'm usually very like, I talk a lot. I'm very extroverted. Like, that's why I'm like so, like, I understand you. You have the exact vibe. I hate the word vibe, but I, you know what I mean? Like, but I talk a lot. I'm very extroverted. And a lot of the time I find that I'm just saying words.
Yeah.
And they're super convincing. Like, people are like, oh, that's exactly what she means. When really it's, I'm just speaking. Like, I'm just talking to say anything because I'm alive and I'm conscious and I don't really know what to do with that. So music sort of like is the only way I can translate my brain into actual, like, it's how I find what I'm actually thinking and actually feeling rather than just reacting or trying to be something like, or be the most appropriate, or, you know, I don't know. Music is music is the truth to me.
Yes, it is good. And it's interesting because I guess you've touched the lives of so many listeners. And it's really cool how you can kind of connect to people like that.
I honestly, some of my fans have literally saved my life. Like, not even kidding. I will be having the worst day and then I'll just get like a message. It'd be like someone who'll be like, I had the worst day and like, you know, your music saved my life. And then people who tell me that kind of stuff, like, we're all just saving each other's lives. But no, honestly, it's been incredible hearing people's stories. And, you know, I mean, obviously everyone with mental illness like has some sort of trauma, you know, so whether it be like passed down or a lived experience. So there are a lot of hurt people out there. And I suppose what I'm trying to do with this record is be like, hi, over here. Like, come on, come on, let's do this. We got our little raft here. You know, maybe we've hurt people. Maybe we've been the bad guy. Maybe you've been abusive. Maybe you've been completely indulging your own toxicities. Let's go to therapy, my friends. Let's choose wellness. I don't know.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Like, how do you feel like, I guess you've changed so obviously between both, I guess this is your second album release. How do you feel? So when did you start, I guess, going to therapy?
When I was about 15, my family put me into therapy, and it was this really weird dude. No offense if he ever hears this, which I really doubt it. I don't even know if he's alive. But anyway, he was this weird dude, and he was like, you have Dabrowski's overexcitability. And being a very impressionable / psychotic teenager, I was like, oh, I'm special? Oh my God. And then I looked it up, and my friends were like, this isn't even a real thing, G. And I was like, okay, well, you don't know me like that. And then I looked it up. It's a theory. It's like a theory, and it's about it. Well, look, it's about emotional intensity, which is very true. Like, honestly, I'm a very emotionally intense person, as you probably tell. But at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of false sort of narratives going around, and there's a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists who are sort of peddling their own research where it doesn't sort of benefit the individual. And I feel like it's hard to find a good psychologist, you know? I've only just really, I mean, I met a really good one. Now I'm sort of in the process of finding a psychotherapist who is someone who does DBT, CBT, EMDR, just like, oh my God, Kenneth, let me live my life. Okay. I'm closing the door so you can't see me. All right, anyway. But yeah, look, therapy. I'm still in it. I've been in it since I was a kid, and yeah, that probably gives me a sense of like, I know what I'm doing, which is false, but it's important that we have a space as people with complex mental illness to talk these things through in a professional environment, because once you stop doing that, you rely on the people around you and they're just not equipped to deal with it, you know? Like, and they shouldn't really have to, like, they don't have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you feel like one of like the best things I guess you've done is see a therapist?
Yeah, and start medication, which was so scary. I started it when I was about 18 or 19, and I've been on like a few different ones since then.
Yeah.
Fun journey.
Yeah.
But it's been incredible seeing how diverse the mental health research industry is, I guess, in this country. Mm. There are so many things that we can still do. Like, I've just started working with SANE. They're a mental health organization. SANE.org. I met with their CEO and we just talked and it was amazing. She has a lived experience. We just opened up to each other and she was like, hey, you're smart. You can help people. And I was like, well, I'm actually the worst and terrible, poo-poo, caca, bad person. And she was like, well, cool. Use that and help people. So I guess that's sort of the motivating factor behind all my oversharing, is to connect with people who maybe feel that exact way, but don't necessarily have the absolute shameless extrovertedness, arrogance of me to say it to the general public. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And have you met lots of people, I guess, along this kind of journey to, I guess, like learning more about your mental health, who have kind of changed the way that you've like kind of like this person that you've just been speaking about? Have you kind of met more people like that who have really influenced your life?
A few people. Look,
generally people are quite like afraid. So I feel like, especially people who are mentally ill, so they'll take what I say and take it into their own lives. I've met a few people with BPD and certain dissociative disorders. I've reached out to a couple of people and it's been interesting. I'm currently working on an idea of, I really want to start a dissociative research hub in this country. We don't have one. Okay. And essentially we're behind in the rest of the world. The UK has one, the US has one. And I know that's not the world, but you know what I mean. Like the great superpower white people. And
pretty much.
We don't have the innovation here. The stigma in Australia against complex mental illness is still so intense. Like people can't differentiate between somebody who is being intentionally manipulative and somebody who's having an episode. And that's something that I want to help change.
Yeah. And so like, what kinds of things would you do with this initiative?
Oh my God. So many fucking things. I want to get every dissociative researcher in this country and I want to sit them in a room and I want to say, why haven't you combined forces? Get over your own egos. There's work to be done. I'm sure everyone in this room has pieces to the puzzle. Combine.
Definitely. Teamwork. Bit of teamwork. We need a bit of teamwork going on.
Literally.
I love it. Well, obviously, like, I guess the journey of mental health is really difficult. And, like getting through, everyone's kind of battling their own battles, I guess, in their head. And I'm assuming last year, particularly 2020, would have been very, like, it was everyone's own journey, I guess, with the influence of, like, you know, COVID-19 and all that kind of thing in society. How did you feel like last year you kind of stayed inspirationally aligned? Because you released Fever Break last year, and then there was this whole kind of, you know, lull period before you released your album Herald. How did you feel like last year you kind of kept motivated?
Didn't really. I mean, look, I worked with a new management team and they sort of honestly were so vital to me in just keeping my perspective on what I was doing. I mean, obviously, you know, for someone like me, it's hard to have an overall understanding of like purpose or vision or ambition. Yeah. So when you go through something like coronavirus, which honestly I'm lucky, you know, I have a nice place to call home and you know, I have access to medication and stuff, but you know, I'm not trying to complain. It's just genuinely sometimes it was a bit hard to sort of picture what the future was. And there were a lot of times where I felt sort of just like giving up a bit. And sometimes I did give up, but every time I did that, I was always caught by the good people around me who just gently reminded me that I have a passion that can help people, and that's the goal here, is to help people.
Definitely. And I guess that passion kind of stems back to when you were like, I guess back to your roots, like whenever you perform, I guess, does it kind of remind you of like the person that you are and remind you of your roots?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think honestly I'm just sort of floating around.
Aren't we all?
Honestly, I'm just like, I don't know. What are my roots? Do I have roots? What happened in the last 20 years of my life? I don't know. But I will say that I'm enjoying... Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. All good.
Okay, yes. I will say that I'm having a great time, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of fuckery, but I'm also having a great time.
Well, living your best life, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I am. If little me could see me now, like, I have so many little plants in my room, and I have a nice coat, and I have a nice blanket that my best friend's mum's, like, quilted for me. Aww. So I think she'd be pretty stoked with how my life's turned out.
Yes. Well, you know what? That's the main thing. I guess, are you proud? You're proud of yourself.
Yeah. Well, look, yes. Yes, I am. There are obviously things I would have liked to have not done in my life, but I'm sure if you didn't have any regrets, you wouldn't really be a human being, maybe. Yes. Or unless you're, I don't know, I was going to say Oprah, but then like I feel like maybe she'd have done some shady shit as well. Like, oh, yeah, tax evasion, Oprah. Anyway.
No. Well, I guess we live and we learn. Isn't that correct? And like, I guess your experiences make you, essentially.
Totally, completely.
Yeah.
It's just about the conscious decisions we make moving forward. Honestly, I just want people to know that if they've made mistakes, if they've hurt people, if they've been horrible and like you just feel like you can't even continue on in life, that you can choose to be a better person. Like, you can choose to help people. You can choose to be a good influence on people. And
yeah,
that's kind of what I'm trying to do, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like I've been a fan for a while. And I've definitely seen, I guess, the growth in your character. Do you feel like you've grown a lot as a kind of character, like as a character, particularly between, like, say, for example, one album to the next?
Definitely. Definitely, because there's a new level of self-awareness that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was mentally ill. Like, I knew I was, I just thought it was like quirky skin zero, you know, like negativity. But really, yeah, it was like fucking PTSD and trauma, which no one tells yeah. you until, you know, you're thrashing around like a freaking fish in a net, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm really proud of myself. I'm really proud of like how much clarity I have now and how much, because literally with clarity comes decision making. As soon as you know what's going on, and you like, even that diagnosis for me was huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's just affected my music making as well. I know now, like, I want to branch out to other instruments, you know, I want to try this, I want to try that, I want to put more meaning into my songs, I want to talk about the environment a bit more, you know. It's yeah. getting to a point now where I feel like I can make choices.
Yeah, which is definitely so important, I guess, as an artist, having autonomy over kind of what you kind of represent and what you do, which is really important. And I guess like an interesting comparison to make is your Lack of Versions, because you just recently did your second Lack of Version.
Yes, I did.
Yay, how exciting. And like the comparisons between Lack of Version, where would you say like your frame of mind was when you covered Magnolia by Gang of Youths, as opposed to when you covered Thunderstruck?
I think I was more unwell when I did Thunderstruck. Really? But I was more excited.
Okay.
Almost. I think when I did Magnolia, I was in a period of sort of clarity, and that's sort of how it is. You ebb between like clarity and you know, episodes, and that's sort of the general gist. So when I did Magnolia, I was very happy. But I was also, the thing about Magnolia is that I really wanted to be like ethereal and beautiful and soft. With Thunderstruck, I think I was just like, I'm fucking angry, you know, like there was no sort of like prettiness to it, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, it's really interesting, even comparing, I guess, the message behind, say, for example, a song like Magnolia as opposed to a song like Thunderstruck, that just in itself encapsulates, I guess, the feelings and emotion driving it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree. Thank you. That's a really nice thing to say, by the way.
Yeah, but no, you definitely nailed both tracks, may I just say. I literally, very different vibes. Sorry to use the word vibe, but very different vibes. But
no, it's so fine. It's literally just a part of the language now. There's no, what else do you say? The energy, I feel that's worse.
It's actually true. It's actually true.
The energy.
Yeah, I definitely use that word way too much. But yeah, but speaking of, I guess, performing live again, you've got a few shows coming up. How excited are you about it?
I'm so excited about, oh my God, dude, I've been thinking about it every day. I'm hitting the main cities, but I'm also hitting some regional like cities in Australia. So I've been waiting for this, you know, I've been waiting for this for a long time.
I can
imagine. I'm planning things. I'm putting my all into it. You know,
yes.
There's a lot of cool ideas that I'm working with, like maybe some artistic sort of elements. I really like kind of making kind of masks and clay things. So, and puppets. So I don't know. I'm contemplating a couple of like quirky little props.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm really excited, dude. Like this is going to be the highlight of my life, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's really going all out for this one.
Oh yeah. Honestly, I'm so bored. Like I made the record before coronavirus. It was finished.
Oh,
so
I've just been
like writhing around.
Yeah. Oh, it must have felt like such a good kind of feeling when you finally put it out into the world after having it kind of, you know, just, you know, kind of just resting for a while.
Oh my God. It feels so good. And also like, you know, I was very nervous about this one, but to a stranger, I was nervous because it was my first record. But with this one, I don't know. There's just a lot more because it was so, I had a point to it. Like,
yeah.
To a Stranger was more like, oh, these are my songs. This one was like,
hi, I've been emotionally abusive and I need to be accountable for that. Yeah. And people, you know, it's hard to talk about that kind of stuff. So this was really intense, but people have been really, you know, empathetic and really been like, hey, same girl. Yeah. Thanks for saying it out loud. It's like, oh, maybe I should keep saying things out loud.
I definitely think you should keep saying things out loud. Yeah, definitely love your work. And it's amazing how you can connect to people and the impact that music has. As you said, like not only on your life, but on other people's lives is crazy really when you think about it, because you can connect to such a wide audience.
Absolutely. It really is. I mean, I think about some of the artists that I connect with, and to know that I could do that for somebody else is weird. Beautiful, but weird.
It's so personal, but it's just so, I don't know, it is a very kind of strange concept if you think about it.
Yeah, it is, right? But it's sweet. It's like, it reminds me sort of like the art of storytelling and morals and kind of how over the years, you know, you grew up listening to those sort of wise tales. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah,
but, you know, ones that have sort of be careful, don't go into the river or you'll get eaten by a crocodile. So I feel like that's sort of what I'm trying to do with my music.
Definitely. Well, I love your work, literally love your work, and keep up the good work. But I thought to finish off our little conversation, we'd do a little bit of a quiz. Now, I'm a bit of a sucker for a good D&M, a good deep and meaningful.
Ooh.
So I thought, and this has been a really kind of, this has been a very deep conversation, I feel, at times.
Yeah, it has.
I feel like we'll do a little kind of quiz now. I'll just ask you about 25 questions and just quick responses, and we'll see how quickly we can kind of okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Ready, set, go. Who is your biggest inspiration in life?
Björk.
What do you think people notice most about you?
My loudness.
Okay. What do you think, high school, was it amazing or terrible?
Both.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Both.
Where do you want to go more than any other place in the world?
Iceland and Greenland.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
When people chew with their mouths open.
What is one personality trait that you simply have no time for?
People who are rude to the waitstaff.
Yes. Do you believe in life after death?
I don't know.
How do you hope you're described by people when you're not around?
Oh God, as opposed to what I know they say?
Yes.
Okay, she seems passionate.
Nice. Is it okay to sleep with socks on?
Yeah. No.
Okay, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Sometimes.
Favorite social media platform?
Instagram. I don't know.
Yes. Do you believe in organizing in life or letting things just happen?
Both.
Odd numbers or even?
Both.
Do you think opposites attract?
Yes.
Love at first sight? Do you believe in it?
No.
Okay. Guilty
of not love, that would be like lust.
True. Guilty until proven innocent or innocent until proven guilty?
Innocent until proven guilty, I suppose.
Okay.
Depends on the situation.
Okay. Comfortable silences or nonstop conversation?
Comfortable silences.
Do you believe in fate?
Nope.
Are you for technology or do you think we need digital detoxes?
I think we need digital detoxes, but I think technology is saving people's lives. So both.
Okay. Do you think it's better to have loved and lost or to never have loved at all?
Love and lost.
Okay. And TV shows or movies?
Ooh. Movies.
And describe what would bring you the most ultimate happiness in life.
if my gran could come back to life and cook me chicken giblets.
Oh, wholesome, wholesome. We love that. We love it. Well, that brings us to the end of our little quiz with Odette today. That was 2 minutes and 50 seconds, so almost 3 minutes.
Wow. We nailed it.
Yeah, we did nail it. Go sit.
Sorry, I didn't know what to say. Sometimes I was like, both?
I don't know. I love it. I love it. But yes, that brings us to the end of our conversation. Thank you so much for jumping on today, Odette. I've literally loved having a chat with you today. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun too. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And if we wanted to find you on social media / listen to all of your new work, where can we find you?
You can find me on Odette on Instagram. You got me on the TikTok.
Yeah.
Odette Odyssey. Yeah, they're terrible. They're really bad.
They're great.
But yeah, I mean, Facebook, all the ones. I got a website. I don't know what it's called exactly, but I know I have one.
Okay, awesome.
And awesome. Twitter.
Yeah. We love it. Well, thank you so much once again. I've literally loved listening to you over the years, not even just this album, over the years. And I'm super excited to see what the future holds and all of your live gigs. Thank you so much for jumping on today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. You too. And if you want to visit the Hoist, if you want to see the Hoist, head to @thehoistsin on your social medias to find all your playlists, reviews, hot hits, and some killer content. Thank you for tuning in from wherever you are. My name is Anika, and today I was joined by Odette. And be sure to continue radiating the wholesome vibes. I'll see you next time. Thank you.